Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Welcome into the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. As we've made it through, ladies and gentlemen, another week. And I tell you what, this is one of those tough weeks, and I'll tell you why. We are right on the outside looking in as far as the college football season. And how it is stacking up. I mean, it's not that far away. I know people get tired of hearing me say that, but it's true. We're going to have some great stuff for you on the program today, including I've got some pro notes. Deshaun Watson is working out with some people. We'll tell you who he's working out with in a little bit. One prominent ACC head coach says his players don't like the 12-team playoff proposal. What? Yeah, we'll get into that this afternoon. Also got some betting things that we'll talk about. And we're going to have picks for the UFC fight coming up this weekend. And Conor McGregor, by the way, to be 154 pounds? You have to be one of the baddest fighters on the planet to be saying some of the things that he says to Dustin Poirier, a man who is kicked him in his face before. We'll talk about that and how Conor McGregor is at the point with me where I can appreciate him being a good fighter, and I like the guy that has the bravado to go out there and say, you know what, I'm going to knock people out. I'm fine with that, but I'm at the point now with Conor McGregor where I hope Poirier kicks his teeth in. I mean, I am at that point with Conor McGregor. And I understand what he's doing. He's trying to get people to buy the pay-per-view, and I completely understand that. But I tell you what, the stuff that he's doing is insane. Delta says that Conor needs to lay off the Irish whiskey. Yeah, you're right about that. Alan says I need to take his call. Yeah, 803-978-1832. We'll be happy to take your call. So I've got, remember the bookcase of accountability, which is over to my right, which would be to your left if you're watching online this afternoon. I got to add this to it, too. Phil Steele's preseason predicted order of finish for the SEC. Appreciate the folks watching online, including Blake, Delta, Allen, and Tree Fitty. I like that. Thanks for checking us out today. All right, so here's his predicted order of finish for the SEC. In the West, he's got Alabama at 1, Texas A&M at 2, LSU at 3, Ole Miss at 4, Auburn at 5, Mississippi State at 6, Arkansas at 7. You know, we can go up and down and look at that and say, you know what, maybe I like some of this, maybe I don't. But in the grand scheme of things, I would probably have Mississippi State higher than Auburn. I'd probably have Mississippi State at 4 and Ole Miss at 5 and then Auburn at 6. And Arkansas is in the land of Mizzou, meaning Mizzou's the show-me state. You got to show me something, Arkansas. You won 3 games last year, and everybody loves them some Coach Sam Pittman, but you got to get with it and start winning some games if you want me to puts you in my predicted order of finish higher than 7th in the West. In the East, it's got the Georgia Bulldogs at 1, Florida at 2, Kentucky at 3. I say that because I know people, when you mention Kentucky, even though they got that big left tackle from LSU, people are automatically going to say, what? What? Kentucky at 3? Interesting. Mizzou at 4. South Carolina at 5. Tennessee at 6. And Vanderbilt at 7. All right, so I appreciate the fact that he's not high on Tennessee, because I think there's a segment of people that are looking at Tennessee and they're saying, you know, maybe we should give the Vols some credit for what they're trying to do here in the offseason and the bounce back and everything else. I don't know if I'm buying all that. Okay? Don't know if I'm buying all that at all. But I do think him having South Carolina at 5 and Mizzou at 4 is interesting, because under that logic, he probably thinks that South Carolina is going to get the win over Tennessee but lose the game to Mizzou. Got to go on the road to Como. Sometimes that's a tough out. Mizzou doesn't play well on the road, though. Remember, they came to South Carolina last year, and this is like the first game after Will Muschamp. They came into Columbia, and they won that game, what, 17-9? Something like that. They didn't really put a big showing on. And, of course, Eli Drinkwitz still trying to do the job up there. But I wanted to give you this because we're going to put this on the bookcase of accountability right over there. Walking over there right now. There you go. Add that to the mix so I don't lose it. All right, now here's Phil Steele's preseason top 25. Now, there are two teams that are not in the top 25 that, let's see if you can catch on really quickly here. All right, he's got Oklahoma 1, Alabama 2, Ohio State 3, Clemson at 4. We can make an argument that that's pretty much solid across the board. Georgia fans will have Georgia at 1 and Clemson at 50. We know how that goes. But Georgia's at 5, Texas A&M's at 6, Notre Dame's at 7, Iowa State at 8, Washington at 9, Cincy at 10, Wisconsin at 11, North Carolina at 12, 13 is Southern Cal, Penn State, and then Utah, Miami, LSU, Indiana, Oregon, Texas, Arizona State, Louisiana, Texas, Arizona State, Iowa, Coastal Carolina, TCU. Out to the phones we go, 803-978-1832. And good afternoon. Welcome to the Rundown.
Rob, what's going on, buddies? Your buddy here, Megan.
What's going on, sir? What have you got for the program today?
I missed a little bit of the program when you first started here. I would like to solve the puzzle on who's missing in that top 25 from Phil.
You probably know. Tell us who it is.
I'm afraid that would be.
This is like I just told you one of these teams is going to be one of the top teams in the East, but they're not in the top 25 for Phil Steele. Who is it?
Do they wear orange and blue, Rob?
Is that? I guess that's orange. Yeah, and I guess that's blue. You're exactly right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm afraid that would be the Florida Gators,
Normally, you and I spar back and forth, but on this, we're kind of laughing together. Dan Mullen couldn't make Phil Steele's top 25, and he's projected to be the second best team in the East.
Oh, my God. Christmas came early this year, Rob. Oh, my God.
I'm glad I made you laugh. Normally, you think I hate you, but this makes me laugh hysterically.
Oh, my God. Oh, hey, you brought up that bookcase of accountability. I want to know, do I have my own section right up front by now?
Yeah, yours is in the trash can underneath it.
Oh, I got to have my own special section by now.
I told you it's the trash can. I'm going to put Begging Megan's thoughts on the trash can right underneath it.
I got you. Well played, sir.
Well, there's one other team that's not in the mix there, too, and that would be Northwestern, which I thought was interesting. They played in the Big Ten championship game last year, but no love there. No love for the Gators or Northwestern.
Yeah, I don't know that it's as big of a blow to Northwestern as it is to the Gators.
Well, they're smart kids up there. They don't care.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. The expectations at Florida are just unrealistic. But That's good stuff, man. I'm sorry I had trouble holding it together. I'm still going to laugh about that when we hang up.
Do you think that Dan Mullen's going to paint that up in the locker room down there? Like, hey, they don't think – Phil Steele doesn't think we're a top 25 team.
Yeah, it very well may be. I could see him putting on some kind of a weird costume for SEC Media Days to address that issue.
That's going to be funny.
You know? Yeah. Hey, but I'll let you run.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling the program. All right, so there you go. Megan joining the program today, and we didn't spar with each other. We're just kind of not really openly laughing, but how the hell is Florida not ranked in Phil Steele's top 25? Are you serious? How does that happen? I'm not buying that at all. Some folks online, Keith got it right. Florida's missing. So there you go with that. Jerome says Mizzou and Florida will be something to watch. I think Mizzou should win. You know, when you see, and I guess it's because I'm a guy that all of these publications come out, and Athlon and the Sporting News and all of that, but the reality is the only one that I really buy every year is the Phil Steele top 20, the Phil Steele report. And I guess it's just because I've always bought it, you know, from back from the when I was old enough to get a summer job and working in a restaurant or working in a tobacco field, and I can afford, you know, the, what was it, $3.95 or whatever it was when I was a kid. Now it's more expensive than that, but I buy it because I've always enjoyed Phil Steele's stuff.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I think he comes at everything, and it's not really, I don't think he writes with a bias towards anyone, and I think that it's honestly the way that he feels. Now, by the way, let's make sure we put this out there. Phil Steele predicted that Florida, what was it, in 2017, would be his breakout team as a team that could win the national title, and they went 4-7. So there's that. There's also that. So, it's not like he's had hatred for Florida before. Because on Twitter, there are some folks that are legitimately angry that Florida's not ranked in Phil Steele's top 25. They'll still be ranked in, I think, in the AP poll, because there's going to be a bunch of Florida apologists that will be there. And I'm not saying Florida doesn't deserve to be there, but just funny. 803-978-1832. Out to the phones we go. Welcome to the Rundown. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Sanders. How are you doing this?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. I wanted to touch on what you and Megan were just following up on. Did you see ESPN's re-ranking of their football? Football
the
power index. Yeah, have you noticed that?
I haven't gotten to that yet, but I'm sure that's great too, right?
Oh, it's looking pretty good for the Southeastern Conference and the SEC East. Might not be quite as weak as it was portrayed to be. What was it, a month and a half ago, where teams like Mississippi State were ranked number 8? You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, it looks like even though the SEC East is down, particularly Georgia, will be playing three top, well, I guess you'd say three top 15 rated games before October 30th.
Wow, good stuff there. That's good stuff there, man. Hey, I appreciate you calling the program. Back out to the phones we go. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Rundown.
Yeah, Rob, do you think it's the defense that Phil Steele doesn't like for Florida, or is it Emory Jones?
I think it's a combination of no Kyle Trask, no Kyle Pitts, and the way that they looked like hot dog water against Oklahoma. They didn't even show up.
They looked terrible. Yeah, they did look terrible.
I think that's why he feels the way that he does, in my opinion. Now, I'm not trying to say that I'm Phil Steele, but after the way that they looked, and by the way, the best shot from that game was Kyle Pitts doing an interview while his team is getting throttled. And he's like, yeah, go Gators. You guys go out there and do your thing. And he's like, I'm not playing. To hell with y'all. Y'all go play hard, as Oklahoma's curb stomping them.
Yeah. Do you believe that the 12-team playoff is just going to kill off the bowl system?
I think the bowl system is dead anyway, because no one really cares about the bowls unless your team is playing in the college football playoff. Now, if your team's playing in a game, then you might be with it. But I think it all centers down to those to the CFP.
The opt-outs. It's just people that's going to opt out.
I think that this may be better, because if your team is in the top 12, you're going to have more big-time players that will decide, hey, I don't want to opt out.
Well, I remember that Deebo Samuel opted out of their bowl game, but then he played in the Senior Bowl. I didn't really understand that, if he didn't want to get hurt.
Well, the Senior Bowl is a showcase with lots and lots of NFL scouts there, so there's that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Rundown.
How's it going?
What's up?
Not much. I just came on here, you know. I ain't coming here to talk trash about any other SEC program. I'm a Kentucky fan, by the way. Sorry. I should preface that probably first. But I just like to let everybody know this is not your mommy and grandpa's Kentucky team. We are what South Carolina should be. We actually develop talent, and we're actually a pretty good football program right now. It's not just a basketball program down in Lexington.
Look, I have respect for Coach Stoops. But I think that people are tired of hearing the same thing about Kentucky every year. Hey, this is the year, this is the year, this is the year. As a Kentucky fan, would you agree with me that Kentucky would get a lot more respect if they actually had a quarterback that could throw a ball more than 5 yards down the field?
Yes, and I think that's the piece we're missing. I mean, if we can get a passing game, I think we can be very competitive. I don't think we can beat a team like Georgia. I think they have way too much talent. And besides an anomaly, I don't see us beating a team like Georgia, but I can consistently see us beating teams like Florida, South Carolina on a consistent basis if we can get a passing game going. We did bring in a new offensive coordinator, but, you know, it's yet to be seen if we can develop a quarterback to throw a forward pass.
We'll have to see how that works out for Kentucky, man. But it's an actual Kentucky fan. The folks online, they probably don't believe you're real.
Oh, yeah, I have a YouTube channel. They know who I am.
Fair enough, man. Hey, thanks for joining us on the Rundown. We appreciate it.
Yep, no problem.
There you go. An actual Kentucky fan joining us on the program today. I can honestly say I never thought that – I mean, I've met Kentucky fans in the past, but as far as joining us on the program, I didn't think that would happen. But apparently there are some Kentucky fans out there. All right, so – we'll take your calls. What do you think about Florida being left out of the top 25 for Phil Steele? Begging online says, hey, Bluegrass, shut up and wait for basketball season. Stand by, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting hot in here in July. More of the Rundown when we come back. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400. All right, welcome back into the Rundown. Let's back out to the phones, 803-978-1832. We just had our first Kentucky caller on the program. That's pretty crazy. What you got for the show, sir?
Hey, Rob, this is Buckeye John.
Hello, Buckeye John. Now we have an Ohio State fan on the program. The whole show is going to up near Kentucky and Ohio now. My show is now a load of crap. Thank you, Buckeye John.
Okay, this is a gambling prop. I see the Gamecocks have over 3.5 wins. I think that's a probably guaranteed lock with the two running backs we got.
Wait, repeat that
defense again? Defense of your. I think the two running backs we got, the defense is a year older. I think over 3.5 wins for the Gamecocks is pretty much a lock.
Yep.
I want to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Buckeye John, thanks for calling the program. Follows the program all over the place. We appreciate him. I think over 3.5 is a if you gave me that and told me to bet, I would bet. I like South Carolina to win the East Carolina game. I like them there. And then they have two other non-conference games that are right there. And I think they beat Vanderbilt. So that's at 4. So 3.5 is an absolute lock. I don't know of anybody that's going to give you 3.5. Just my opinion on that. So, yeah, good stuff there. 803-978-1832 if you'd like to call and join us on the program. Randall says, hey, Rob, if the Suns lose the finals, will the Suns still rise the next day? Yes, I know people mocking me about my Phoenix Suns. Yes, yes, yes. The Lakers fans are upset. I know that. They're not happy. They are definitely not happy. Anyway, we'll take your calls this afternoon at 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. That is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on The Rundown, right here on Fox Sports Radio 1400, of course, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Bluegrass Online says Kentucky football is better at developing talent than anyone in the SEC besides Alabama. You know, I'm going to highlight that comment there and let the folks so over there actually see that. I will buy into Coach Stoops can develop defensive talent at a very high level. I will give him that. But the offense at Kentucky is terrible. It's terrible. So, it's until someone can show me something different, that's what I'm going to go with. Kentucky, what's keeping Kentucky from the land of being respectable as far as their record goes, from being a 6-7 win team to an 8-10 win team, is to get a quarterback in there and to have the quarterback actually have some weapons to throw to. Yes, the running game is great. But the reality is that if you want to beat Kentucky, stack the box and make the quarterback throw the ball. Until they get somebody that can do that, Kentucky is going to continue to be 6-7-8 win team. Began Online says he wants me to put that in the bookcase of accountability. Now I've got to put screenshots in the bookcase of accountability. Kentucky football is better at developing talent than anyone in the SEC besides Alabama. Edwin says Kentucky is flooding the NFL with all the guys they develop. You know, it's funny because I was looking at the 2021 NFL draft as far as players that went in the NFL. And if I remember correctly, Clemson put in 5. I think Kentucky put in more guys. Mizzou put in 5. But that's kind of a flawed stat because Auburn put in like 1 and Texas A&M had 2. So when you really stop and think about it, I don't think that if it's developing talent, as Realistic One says online, yeah, it's putting your guys in the NFL, then that's fine. But I'm talking about I'm more, you know, we cover college sports here. I have nothing against the NFL.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
The reality for me, though, is that I think the better coaches are the coaches that can get guys that get them to a point where they play at a very, very high level and they can fill the needs that they have on the college front. So, Edwin Online, holding my feet to the fire. That's 1 year. What about over the years? Brother, I got to look it up, man. Don't burn me too bad, Edwin, over there online. The reality is that, yes, you can. If it were just from the perspective as far as your team goes of putting players in the NFL draft, then every year it would be, why isn't Georgia and Alabama playing for the national championship every single year? I mean, a lot of times Georgia and Alabama are right there up top. Alabama more than Georgia as far as getting over the hump there. But as far as putting a talent that's developed, getting over the hump there. But as far as putting a talent that's developing, I mean, they do it if you're just doing it from the perspective of, hey, they're putting them in the NFL. 803-978-1832. Little trash talk on a Friday from Began says, it's nice to see that one of the eight people in Kentucky who actually has electricity is putting it to good use. You're giving us all a good laugh, sir. That's great. That is that's absolutely great. Wow. Top notch there. Blake says, if that's the bar, the Mississippi State has the most NFL players. Look, I understand the putting the players in the NFL is important. I get that. But you can be a great player in college and not play in the NFL. You can do that. I mean, it's a fine line to cross. It really, really is. And it's hard. It really is hard to sit here and say, you know what? I've got this or that or both. So we'll take calls on that as well. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. That is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on The Rundown. Apparently, our caller from Kentucky has angered everyone in the chat room. It's not even basketball season, and Kentucky fans are pissing everybody off. 803-978-1832. Quick break. When we come back, we'll have more for you here on The Rundown. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400. And welcome back to The Rundown here on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Shout out to Mr. Bluegrass Online, who has everyone. It's like one to Kentucky fan comes to the mix to the online party over there. And everyone loses their mind. Good stuff there. Let me read some of these comments because they are actually really, really funny. He says, I'm willing to destroy any of you in a debate on the air for you've all you know-nothings of college football. I give him credit. At least he comes with his guns blazing. Blake says, Kentucky fans are salty after a gong show year of basketball. Megan's upset that he called them know-nothings of basketball. And he says, I know, let's have a spelling contest. Are SEC fans, like, in the East, are they like, man, maybe Kentucky's getting it right? I don't know. I don't know about all that. You're welcome to call the program at 803-978-1832. I've been in the camp that, and I've said this before on the show, you know, I mentioned the show me state of Missouri. Kentucky's kind of there for me on that front too. I'm tired of hearing about, oh, they've got this great defense and they've got that. Once again, it's the show me world, man. Show me what you got. Show me what you've got. You've got all this talent. You can develop this talent, as Bluegrass says. Hey, man, let me know what it is. Let's see it on the field. And by the way, I got tons of respect for Coach Stoops because he's made a lot of chicken salad out of the chicken stuff that he's had up there. Because let's be honest, where they're at in Kentucky, he's having to recruit against Ohio State. And he's got Louisville in the same state. Not that Louisville's anything to really write home about, but getting a lot of those players from up there, when you're in the heart of Big Ten country, that's tough. That's tough. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, though, when you really stop and think about it. The amount of people that that give a lot of love to Kentucky. And then, you know, it seems like they had the one big season, and then they kind of tapered off from there. Chris Rodriguez was picked by several different folks as one of the guys that could be the breakout player at running back in the SEC. I can buy that. And it seems like Kentucky's always got a good running back, two good running backs, but nobody to throw the ball and nobody to really catch it. That's kind of an important part of the game. 803-978-1832. 1-832-803-978, 1-832. That is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on the Rundown. Who do you think is going to be in the top 25 at the end of the season, the Florida Gators or Northwestern? Because both of them were left out of Phil Steele's preseason top 25. He likes Coastal better than those two. He's got LSU at 17. That could be a little bit low in my opinion. LSU is one of those teams that they have a ton of talent. I don't think anybody's going to argue about the roster that LSU has. Okay? Got a ton of talent. My favorite stat from last year, though, is that LSU had a ton of talent on the defensive side of the ball. They've got two All-American defensive backs, Derek Stingley being one of them. And they've got these guys that are All-Americans over there, but they still managed to have one of the worst pass defenses in the country. That's a different level of silly. That's just the way that it is. So with LSU, I don't think there is a glass top on where their season can go as far as up. But you know what? If the wheels fall off just a little bit, I think they're going to go into UCLA, and I think they're going to pop UCLA right in the mouth at the beginning of the season. I really, really do. But on the other hand, if they go out west and they slip up just a little bit and UCLA manages to get that game, and then we're going to hear everybody talking about, oh, the Pac-12 is in a renaissance, and we're going back to the days of when Stanford was great and Southern Cal was awesome. If we're going to have to hear that narrative because LSU goes out there and stubs their toe, they could go from a team that could go 10-2, 11-1. Don't get upset with me there, folks in the West, to a team that could go 5-7. If Ed Orgeron hasn't gotten a lot of that, and let's just be honest, the trash that was going on kind of behind the scenes there. I mean, it seemed like the team was battling themselves. They did manage to get everything squared away the past two games, the final two games of the season, with the win over Florida, of course, in the mix there too. Began says, I said UCLA and he zoned out. Look, I'm just saying, that's one of those games that if they stub their toe, that could really, really hurt that LSU momentum. Trust me on that. Bluegrass says, Emily Jones is a trash can walking. Easy. I think he's talking about Emory Jones. Maybe. I don't know. And Blake says, Kentucky's passing game looks like a punt a lot of times. And then Jimmy with a good point here. Oregon's had to carry the water for the Pac-10 lately. Yeah, they have. They certainly have. All right, so if you want to talk about the whole thing with Kentucky, we can at 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832. You know, I've been putting together my predicted order of finish in the SEC East, and I will have those, and those will be put on the bookcase of accountability. I'm not just hanging out everybody else to dry. My stuff will be on the bookcase of accountability, too, so slow your roll just a little bit. Just a little bit. Look, I'm going to have, the more and more I think about it, I'm going to have Mizzou probably over Kentucky. Simply because I like Connor Badazalak. Just saying. I think Connor Badazalak is a good player. I think the special teams are back all for Mizzou, and people seem to forget about that too. So, yeah, give me Mizzou. That's kind of a preview there. Mizzou will finish ahead of Kentucky in the SEC East. Put that on the bookcase of accountability. We'll have that over there. In addition to the week before the season starts, my predictions for the SEC East and the West, but I'm pretty confident in Mizzou finishing ahead of them there. Also, Tennessee will finish behind South Carolina. There's two little nuggets for you. Jimmy says it's a shelf of baloney rolling over. You know, it is like, if you look over there, there is a ton of stuff on that shelf of just printouts of stuff that I put up right there. So, yeah, it's on the bookcase of accountability. 803-978-1832. If you want to talk about that, who do you think is going to be ranked at the end of the season? Were you going with Northwestern? Or are you going with LSU? Or excuse me, not LSU, Florida. They were left out of Phil Steele's top 25. We can definitely get into that at 803-978-1832. Next week on the program, we're working on getting some guests involved in the show. I know the week after is ACC kickoff. We're supposed to be in Charlotte, but COVID-19 is wreaking havoc. What that means is that they only can, and this a lot of this has to do with the state of North Carolina, they can only have a certain amount of people on Radio Row. And I don't know if we're going to be on Radio Row or not, to be completely honest with you. You know, we're credentialed to be there, but the question is that will we be on Radio Row or not? Of course, I'm working with Lawton Swan from Clemson Sports Talk. We'll have to see how that works out. We're hoping to be up there. We should know by Monday or Tuesday. Either way, we'll have both ACC kickoff and the SEC Media Days covered for you because we're like, what, 13 days away from both? And we've got the Olympics, too. I know that's kind of out there, but I'm all about the Olympics, too. More of the Rundown when we come back. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400. Final segment of the Rundown this afternoon here on Fox Sports Radio 1400. The Bookcase of Accountability gets the SEC West and East predictions from Phil Steele, in addition to the top 25 not having the Florida Gators or Northwestern on the top 25. Allen says, I owe Georgia an apology. Look at the corrected FPI. How is it corrected, sir? The FPI changes at the drop of a hat. You realize the FPI changes every week. We can go to the Bookcase of Accountability now and show you the first FPI. I'm apologizing for anything that I said. Get out of here with that nonsense. I apologize that I did not put it in clear enough terms where you could understand it. How's that for you, Alan? I'll try to be a better communicator for you, sir. If not, I'll send you some crayons. One way or another. All right, so final segment of the show today. Appreciate everybody checking us out. A couple of things here before we get out of here. Derek Carr is getting crushed about the Raiders 2020 season. He said, quote, we're three or four plays away from going 12 or 11 wins. People are laughing their silly, silly butts off about this. Go and check that out. I'm retweeting that online. That's some interesting stuff there. If you win eight games and you're the starting quarterback and you're making millions and millions of dollars, you don't get to just come, oh, we should have, we were a couple of plays away from winning 11 or 12 games. That's some crap a fan can say. You're paid to make plays, sir. Stop saying stupid stuff online. Ridiculous. Derek Carr needs somebody to handle his social media for him. I'll be happy to do it for you, sir. Reach out to me on Twitter at RobSoundsGood. You should be following me on Twitter there as well, by the way. Also, you can pay me by a Venmo or PayPal. Let me know there, Derek Carr. They're paying you a heck of a lot of money to be a guy who never gets his team to the playoffs. You might as well share some of it because you're stealing money. That's what you're doing. All right, so I got to get into this with Conor McGregor really quickly here. If you're up for the fight this weekend, I'm big on this fight between Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. But here's the funny part about this fight. McGregor says, he put out this comment that he posted a screenshot of an apparent Instagram message request from Poirier's wife. He put that out on Instagram. And he says, as real as it gets, she's lying to you, bro. That's wifey. Proper Irish animal. That's the hashtags. Conor McGregor is an idiot. He is an idiot. There's that. He also tweeted out, he also said at the weigh-in, your wife is your husband. And then tried to start a Jolie's wife chant aimed at Poirier. And then Poirier tweeted out later a picture of himself saying, and his wife, me and the hubby walking into the press conference. Conor McGregor is insane. insane. Alan, by the way, says, I need to send him crayons. You know what? I'm going to get some commemorative crayons for some folks. I'm going to get the old school ones, by the way. Some of the old school crayons and send to some of the folks. Alan will get the first set. Landon says, Connor is washed up. I like the fact that he said, hey, your wife is your husband. If I'm going into a fight and I'm confident that I can win, hey, he's beat Poirier once. He said the last time he wasn't focused. How do you get into the octagon with anyone knowing that you're going to fight with someone that wants to kick your teeth in and you're not focused? I don't get that. By the way, he's got, what, one win? Connor's got one win in like the past 3 years in the octagon, something like that, where he beat up Cowboy Cerrone. Won over Cowboy Cerrone. Other than that, he hasn't been doing very well at all. So, yeah. By the way, my picks for this, I think that Poirier is going to submit Conor McGregor. I really do. I really, really do. I think that's the way that it's going to be. Poirier 7-1 since late 2016. McGregor is just 1-2 during that same span. So in the past, what, 5 years, he's 1-2? Are you serious? Crazy. But I tell you what, he does a good job with getting people to buy the pay-per-view. Hey, I'm showing you where your wife sent me an Instagram request. How is that? I'm just saying. And it's the whole thing of like, it's the whole screenshot, by the way, of him going through his phone and showing it to you. Hey, this is where she requested to be my friend on Instagram. Wow. Those are some fighting words right there. And it makes you wonder if they get into a position where Poirier could, I'm not saying take some liberties, but if, you know, if the ref tells him to stop and he's got an opportunity to throw one more punch into McGregor's mullet, I think that'll happen. I love, it's like, and of course we watch the combat sports because we like the fights, and I get that. But I kind of like it more when the two don't like each other. And it's real. I don't know if this is real or not. I feel like if you make a reference to my wife and we haven't worked that out before, if I have the opportunity to knock you out, I'm going to do it. It's not going to be any holding up there. We'll have to see how that works out. But I'm kind of jacked up for the fight this weekend. Bluegrass says it's probably staged. I wouldn't be shocked, sir. You're absolutely right. I would not be shocked if that were a staged up thing. It would not surprise me in the least. 803-978-1832. That is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on the Rundown. We're about out of time for today, but next week on the show, I've got a couple of guests that are cooking in the pot here, and I don't want to like spoil it, but yeah. Your best bet over the weekend is Poirier, in my opinion, winning over McGregor. I'll try to give you guys a good bet. We'll have to see about that. Landon asked if I watched the Paul Mayweather fight. It's hard for me to take any of these exhibition fights seriously, sir. But, yeah, that's a good point. Blake says the days of good heavyweight boxing has passed us by. You're exactly right. Because look at the big money boxing fights that we've had lately. It's been with guys that weigh 145 pounds. And I'm not mocking people for weighing 145 pounds and fighting. I mean, hey, that's the way, you know, whatever you got to go with that. But the reality is that the days of like where you could watch the heavyweight division and watch a Lennox Lewis or a Mike Tyson or, you know, insert your favorite heavyweight here, those days are over. I mean, Tyson Fury is a great guy to get after, and so is Deontay Wilder. I'll give you that, too. But the reality is that we don't really have that jam-packed heavyweight division anymore. I think that it's at a point now with boxing that it's just kind of sad. I think that's why UFC is doing so much better. Because you don't have to have the heavyweights, and it seems like people they'll still get into it. Bluegrass says Fury versus Joshua will be a super fight. Yeah. But you know what? I'd much rather see, if you gave me the option of having Fury versus Joshua, or on the other end, having John Jones versus Nagano from the UFC, I'll take the UFC fight. Dana White needs to get off his ass and make that fight, by the way. Stop with the nonsense. Pay John Jones what he wants, and then go from there. All right, up next is my buddy, Lawton Swan from Clemson Sports Talk.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
He is the czar of Clemson Sports. Be sure to check out his show. He's at ClemsonSportsTalk.com. Looking forward to the fights this weekend. Big-time football stuff coming up next week. The Swanee Awards are coming up, too, by the way. Please tweet at Clemson Sports. I've won Best Lead-In Show for the Swanee Awards for, 4 years now? Hopefully I don't lose this year. Hopefully. We shall see. All right, thank you guys for joining me all week. We'll be back at it on Monday here on Fox Sports Radio 1400.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.